Keegan Matheson at the Ball Yard, and is pleased, or we're pleased to have him join us now. Keegan, welcome. How are you tonight, sir?
I'm doing well. I am pleased to be here, Jim. You assumed correctly.
I just wanted to sort of, it's subliminal, right? I'm in a subliminal half hour now. I'm going to throw words out there to lead you. And so here's another one. I'm afraid. Should I be afraid of the Jays, or where are we with that?
They tend to make you nervous pretty often, don't they? They look so good for a week or two, and then the problems, those same problems come up. A lot of the time that's been the bullpen. Sometimes that's been rotation depth. Right now with Yusei Kikuchi, sometimes it's Jose Berríos. Will he look great tonight, or will he look like the 5.5 ERA Berríos? We'll see. You can typically tell an inning or so in, but it's been very inconsistent. And inconsistencies are what worry you. And when you have a team that's this talented, but in baseball, just given how the game is played, your worst player, your 26th man on the roster, or your worst skill as a team, whether it's on the bases or defense, it gets exposed. It takes its turn to get exposed eventually, and we've seen that with the Blue Jays sometimes along the way. So a frustrating mix of incredible talent, but also some inconsistencies from time to time, and that's why this is such a tight playoff race when really it shouldn't be.
Let's get to some positive things, Keegan, and I guess one of them today was the development that George Springer, who of course has had some issues being available for the club since he came to Toronto. George Springer was out there, or at least maybe in the cage, hitting, is talking about throwing. In other words, the prognosis is he could be back to playing in a reasonable time frame. What do you make of that?
Great news for the Blue Jays. It could be as early as Monday. We'll see if it's ready by then. But over the last year and a half, I mean, goodness, I've spent so much time talking about a variety, a dozen different injuries with George Springer. None of them have seemed to have simple timelines or simple comebacks. And haven't spent as much time talking about the fact that this is just a fantastic ball player when he is healthy. To have George Springer as your leadoff man is an immediate advantage in any game you are playing. That's a rare thing to have atop your lineup, but they need him healthy. It was an awkward kind of stumble into this IL stint where, is he going to play today? Is he not? Is he healthy? Is he not? Finally, they shut him down, which I think was the right decision at last, and it's looking like he's going to come back closer to his full self, and his full self is a star player. You know, there's a reason he's on that $150 million contract, and he needs to be the leader of that lineup from the top down, because it looks a lot better when he's leading off and Gurriel's in the middle hitting for a little more power.
Keegan, if we were to talk at the end of September, and it's the reverse of last season, whereby there isn't that September fade, everybody's healthy, and it works out, who leads the way? Who is turning that story around for us?
Needs to be Vladdy. It always needs to be Vladdy, because what he is capable of at his best, nobody else in this lineup can do. Now, George Springer is a star player. Bo Bichette can be a star player. We've seen from top to bottom, all-star caliber bats. Nobody does what Vlad does when he's at his very best. That's a bat that can change games. I think back to, goodness, this would be mid-April, guys, in New York, when he had his hand stepped on, stitches in his hand, dripping blood, hit three home runs. Just one of those iconic Vladdy performances that showed how he can take over a game and really take over a moment. He's not scared of those big moments and big games, but it needs to be him. Now, playing to an 850 OPS, that's great. For most players, that's a career year, fantastic. But he's someone capable of hitting 300, hitting 45 home runs, 1,000 OPS. The Blue Jays need that. He's an MVP caliber player. There have been flashes of that. He's certainly on that hitting streak now, which has been great, but a real power outburst, and him stealing a few games, frankly, is what this team needs.
Keegan, we've been going over this, and the numbers almost don't seem real. When you look at the home-road splits for Jose Berríos, he's got a really good ERA in Toronto, which bodes well for tonight when he's starting against the Guardians and Cal Quantrill. 3.23 is the home ERA. The road ERA, almost more than four runs worse. I'm sure you've been asking around for theories on this, and I'm sure you've asked Berríos himself why this is the way it is. What's your best guess on what's actually going on behind those numbers?
He must have a great mattress here in Toronto. I think that's the only thing I can point to. There is something to be said about the comfort of being home, not living out of your suitcase, et cetera, et cetera. But these guys are used to that. That's the lifestyle, and not all of these guys exactly live year-round in Toronto, so it's not the comfort of home that you or I might understand it to be. A lot of it is mystery. You know, this is something that Berríos has tried to figure out himself. It's something he struggled to figure out, and there's some coincidence involved here as well, I'm sure, but that's something that needs to solve itself. There are going to be some big games here down the stretch, and the inconsistencies there have been worrying, because I think the frustrating part for Berríos has been that it's close. This is not like Yusei Kikuchi, where he has no idea where the strike zone is. Mm-hmm. He's close, but then there's just one pitch that gets smoked because he hangs a curveball or a fastball drifts out over. And that's frustrating for a guy who is used to being so consistent, one of the most consistent players in the sport for 5 years. Now you're missing by just a bit. You're going to a place mentally you've never had to be in this much, and that's very frustrating for a pitcher who's used to being the number one guy, leading a staff. Now he is trying to be a number three.
Keegan, I want to go back to the inconsistencies. Because they're back, I mean, that's not the manager's fault, is it? Does it make you at all go back to the decision to change?
Yeah, it's tough for a manager to really get a hand on that so quickly. And I think that John Schneider's style of more aggression on the bases, I like that. That fits this team. That fits their skill set. It fits their energy as well. This is not a bunch of surly veterans stomping around a dugout. You need to read your team's energy. And this is a team that wants to be running, wants to be forcing the issue. And I think it fits them. It really does. But when you are aggressive, sometimes that can lead to more inconsistencies. On the bases, you're going to have days where it works out and everybody involved looks like a genius. Then you're going to have days where you try to steal a base, it does not work, and it's easy to second-guess that, just like bullpen decisions. So for the Blue Jays going forward, it's down to the individuals. It's down to the players on the field. Guys like Vladdy, guys like Bo Bichette, I think are two easy ones, who are getting closer. I think we're seeing signs, but need to be consistently the players they were in 2021. If that happens, I think we forget a little more easily about the trade deadline, which was a bit underwhelming. We forget about some earlier inconsistencies and skids because they're capable of a lot more than we've seen.
The Blue Jays didn't play for the last two nights, Keegan. I'm sure you're acutely aware of that as somebody who is, intensely involved in every Blue Jays game. The Field of Dreams game, I'm sure you tuned in or at least saw the highlights. What were the highlights for you, and where were you on the Harry Carey hologram? We've been batting that one around on Overdrive today.
Not a hologram fan. When I go, leave me where I go, let me tell you. But or at least bring me back better looking. You know, touch me up.
Well, the younger version always works.
To help me out. Make me sound smarter. I don't know. But I love those games. Having players mic'd up, I love. I'm for it. Joey Votto, of course, whenever he talks, you've got to listen. He's one of the most interesting players in this game. But miking up players and having them on those games is something I'm really for. You know, it's when we talk about appealing baseball to a younger audience, we try to come up with big, fancy ideas. The simplest way is to let the player's personality show. That's what the NBA does so well as a league. And you don't always have to force it. You know, if you're trying to think really hard to come up with an idea, well, that's when you get into the territory of, you know, trying a little too hard and trying to force it down a younger audience's throat. That doesn't work. But I think getting the players' personalities involved more like that is great. I love that setting. You know, I guess it's baseball's equivalent to some, you know, outdoor games in the NHL, stuff like that. I think the unique setting is great. And it made a Cincinnati Reds game watchable. I mean, that's an accomplishment itself.
Yes.
It's interesting to do that once a year. And of course, everyone loves that movie, so I think those days are a good step, you know, for baseball. A little more personality, have some fun with it. And man, the old uniforms, those work sometimes. They're okay.
You know what, I think I want to circle back on the Joey Votto stuff, because as I think about it, I was listening to you talk there, and I was sort of remembering the clips I saw in SportsCenter, and I thought, you know what's undersold on that is he's talking about his father and his, you know, his childhood and wanting to be a Major League Baseball player, which is the direct result of Blue Jay success way back when.
Exactly, and it always goes a little slower than you think like that. It's when you are watching Vince Carter and his success with the Raptors. You don't have Canadian ball players the next year. You have them 6, 7, 10 years down the line getting drafted. In 2015 and 2016, youth baseball numbers spiked then, but you're seeing some more Canadians getting drafted now, kids who came up watching the Blue Jays at that point. You know, in 92 and 93, you see that long circle start to play out again. And as kids get involved at younger ages, you're going to see that a lot with soccer in Canada right now, I think. A lot more kids will be getting involved in soccer, and in 10 years, there are going to be more stars. It's always a little slower than you think. It doesn't happen the next day. But there's always that connective tissue, eventually. And Votto is one who can explain it, I think, at length and in a very interesting way. Someone who's very introspective on his own career, for good and for bad. And that's interesting. When he eventually retires, he will be in a booth somewhere, I'm sure of it.
Absolutely. Keegan, thanks very much. Enjoy the weekend.
You got it, guys. Take care.